show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
It is another big weekend in sports. And before we take time to talk some NBA and college football, we are going to shift our focus and attention to reliving some of the early moments and memories, the story of the birth of professional football right here in Dallas. We have joining us well-known and award-winning author. He is a native Texan, John Eisenberg, who has just released his brand new book. It is titled 10-Gallon War, The NFL's Cowboys, the AFL's Texans, and the feud for Dallas's pro football future. John, we wanted to talk to you for quite some time. Welcome aboard. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. John, first of all, I got to say, congratulations on your book, because from what I've read, the reviews have just been absolutely fantastic. And this truly is, I do tons of book reviews. This is a must read for any pro football fan, because you really did provide a lot of information and details about a part of the game that's really not been shared that much. Now, what I have to ask you, let me start off by just saying, you're the author of 7 nonfiction books. What inspired you to tackle this particular subject?
Well, as you said, I am a Dallas native, so this is sort of my root. I grew up with this story, the early days of the Cowboys and the Dallas Texans. And actually, I wrote in one of my earlier books, which was titled Cotton Bowl Days, which was about growing up in Dallas as a Cowboy fan. I included a chapter on the 3 years that they fought over the city with Lamar Hunt and the Texans. And I was interviewed on NFL Films because of that chapter when they did their AFL oral history project for Showtime. And it just kind of, my light bulb just sort of came on. I said, I think maybe this is a topic that's worthy of more than just a chapter. I think it's worthy of an entire book because it's just so much drama and the importance of it in pro football history. So I took it on.
And I would assume that one of your primary goals was to really provide some clarification about, the Cowboys paying the Texans to leave town. We've heard a lot about it, but there's not been that much as far as a definitive, information out there.
No, there really hasn't been. And that was my goal. If I was going to do this book, I was not going to go to publication without getting that nailed down. And so I was really pleased. I mean, it's really just a couple lines in the book, and as I look back on it, I don't know that it was a huge factor in Lamar Hunt's decision to leave, but I was really glad to get it on the record from a number of sources that, yes, in fact, money did change hands for the Cowboys to get Lamar Hunt out of town.
John Eisenberg is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. His brand new book is titled 10-Gallon War, the NFL's Cowboys, the AFL's Texans, and the feud for Dallas's pro football future. And it really is a fascinating narrative, a colorful cast of characters. Tell us some more about these two young oil tycoons that started their own professional franchises in Dallas the very same year. You talk about the mad men of the gridiron.
Yeah, well, they were. And, the maddest man for sure was Lamar Hunt. Well-known figure to anyone in Dallas, sports fan. And in this book, Lamar is not even 30 years old. His history with football started. He was 28 years old, just a few years out of SMU, and he wanted an NFL team. He loved football, and he wanted to get into the NFL. And the NFL, George Halas and those guys, that generation, I think they didn't trust him. They didn't know where he was coming from. He was too young. So they basically patted him on the head like a dog and told him, go on down the road. We're not going to give you a team. So classic Texas oil man mentality, Lamar said, well, if you're not going to give me a team, I'm going to start my own league. So that's what he did with the AFL. And the Cowboys came into existence because the NFL said, we can't let them have that market. So we're going to put up an expansion team, became the Cowboys, and they basically gave the team to Clint Merkison. So young guys, from oil families, both of their fathers had made a fortune in the oil business. They were unaccustomed to losing, and suddenly they were squaring off like an old Western. The town wasn't big enough for the both of them.
You talked about the fact, and I had mentioned it too, you are a native Texan, and I have to assume that, did you know any of these guys that were in the book, and who did you have an opportunity to sit down with to find out and pull some of this information?
I did know a fair number of them. You know, I grew up in Dallas and certainly knew their children, the Hunts and the Murchisons, and not particularly well, but, you know, there were some definitely connections there. And I was able to interview, you know, years ago, Lamar Hunt, of course, had passed away by the time I started doing this book, but I had interviewed him. I actually covered his soccer team back in the 80s when I worked in Dallas at the Times Herald, the Dallas Tornado, so I knew Lamar from then, and I had written, I had interviewed him when I did Cotton Bowl Days on this subject, so I did get him on the record. And I did speak to Gil Brandt, who was in the Cowboy front office in the very beginning. He is still around. And, of course, a number of players from that era. Abner Haynes, a famous name in Texas football history, the first great superstar for the Texans. I interviewed him and, oh, probably a dozen other players on both sides of the ball.
John Eisenberg with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You can find this interview at our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And John did just a great job of breaking down even just the growth in the sport. You know, it was such a crucial time in the sport's history. And I think that was important for you to point out, right?
Absolutely. This is what has enabled me. I mean, it's definitely a Texas-focused book, but it's what enabled me to go on the road in other places, other parts of the country, and sell it. Is that it is a major component in really the history of pro football, because you know, the what happened in Dallas led pretty much to the merger between the AFL and the NFL in the mid to late 60s, which of course is the one moment that created the modern NFL basically. And when those two leagues couldn't get along, they went to the guys in Dallas, Lamar Hunt and Tex Schramm of the Cowboys, and said, listen, we can't work it out. You guys have been fighting. We need you guys to work it out and come up with a merger plan, and that's what they did. And that's, of course, the moment that created the modern NFL. So definitely what happened in Dallas was integral to the creation and growth of professional football.
You bet, because those were crucial years in the 50s and the early 60s, and just when that popularity really, really exploded. I don't want to get ahead too far of myself, but tell us a little bit as far as the relationship and the competitiveness between Lamar Hunt and Clint Murchison.
Well, it was funny. They actually got along personally.
Really?
I mean, they had a lot in common. I mean, they were wealthy guys. They had strong-willed fathers who'd made a lot of money, and they both loved football. So they sat next to each other at a dinner party before this 10-gallon war started, and they got along great. And so even though they were pitted against each other, I mean, there's practical jokes in here that they played on each other. They had a sense of humor, and they got along okay personally. Their teams and the front offices didn't get along at all. But they really tried to put each other out of business. But, you know, it was, as I said, Clint was 10 years older, and it was an interesting relationship between the two of them, because Clint from the beginning was like, we're here, we're the NFL, we're not leaving, it's up to you whether it's going to be two teams here. And I think that was intimidating a little bit to Lamar in the long run, and it's probably the reason why in the end he took a hike to Kansas City.
Well, both these guys, without question, were visionaries, guys ahead of their time. What was their approach to the game back in the day?
Their approach to getting attention was very interesting. The Cowboys. there was no one. It was college football country. Texas still was, for sure. There'd been no pros. And so the Cowboys said, well, we're in the NFL. We're going to take the slow growth approach. We're going to draft. We're going to build a winning team. And when we do win, they will come, you know, just like the movie. You build it, they will come. And the Texans, Lamar said, well, we can't do that. We're in a new league. Nobody knows our name. So he did everything to attract attention. They did crazy stunts, and they hired 30 women to drive around Dallas, pretty women in red convertibles to sell season tickets, and they put tickets in packages of Fritos and set them loose over the city. And they basically let anybody come in for free, practically. They just were doing anything to get attention. Halftime shows, bands, they had zebras on the field, all this crazy stuff. And they just tried anything they could to get attention.
We're quickly running out of time. John Eisenberg is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We definitely wanted to shine the spotlight on his brand new book. It is titled 10-Gallon War, the NFL's Cowboys, the AFL's Texans, and the Feud for Dallas's Pro Football Future. Tell all of our listeners where they can go and get a copy of this. And I must share, there were some wonderful photographs that you were able to pull from the archives in there and that are in the book.
Yes, well, thank you. Yeah, gathering the pictures is never easy for the author, and it took some time and had a lot of help from people in Dallas. And yes, the book can be gotten anywhere. It's a major publisher, major distribution. It's on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere you would want to, as well as the bricks and mortar bookstores. It's all over. It's also, there's an e-book version. You want to download it for your Kindle or iPad or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's a way to do it, too. So it's any way you would want it. It is there.
Well, John, I know you never have any downtime. You're a longtime columnist, and you write for the Baltimore Ravens. Is that correct?
That's right. I was at the Baltimore Sun for many years, and now BaltimoreRavens.com.
Well, they've got a big game this weekend against Pittsburgh, and the Ravens are 7-2.
That's right. That's right. It's always the end of the world when the Steelers and the Ravens play, so I'm sure we'll end again on Sunday.
Okay. Well, enjoy the game. John, thanks so much for dropping by.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead as we get set to talk some NBA. Stay close.